Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All that we love, all that we have built, is here. This land which holds the promise of England. That is what you have put in danger. For turning an eye to the Danes, the punishment is blinding.
Lord, you cannot mean it. Lord, you cannot mean it, Lord King.
To see is to be wise. A king sees with both eyes. Rightly, Ethelwald should lose both, but I will be merciful. Only one eye will be taken, so that Ethelwald might use the other to find the path to redemption.
No!
Way from Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So sit back, relax, and let's talk about Ethelwald's eye.
Oh, man.
My name's Mary Larson. I finally got my doc up, my Google doc up. Now I do.
My name's Blake, and it's just another. It's just continuing our
streak. Just another day with Mary.
Just another day with Mary. How things go. That's what we're doing, ladies and gents.
That's how we roll, man.
Just makes up the intro every time. Last episode, we got it right. We did. It was good. You were following the whole protocol.
The whole document today. Get you. This one?
Hey, get your head in the game, will ya?
Yeah.
get your head in the game.
Gotta get your head in the game. Thanks, Zac Efron. All right, so hello, everybody. Really excited to delve into this gross episode. But before we get into it, of course, we want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast in your podcatcher of choice. You can find us on all sorts of social media channels by searching Mary and Blake. We're going to have loads of other podcasts coming up. So yes. I'm telling you, if you are not following us yet, you are going to be missing out because the Larson household, Mary and Blake Media, we're going to be super duper busy. And I want to thank those of you who've taken the time to head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a reading and a review. The written reviews, they mean a special, special ton of us. I want to thank Renee S. from New York.
We've already read that one.
Oh, never mind.
How about Renee.
Peaky Lou. Pecky Lou.
Sure, why not?
Having fun with Mary and Blake. I enjoy their humor and infectious enthusiasm.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pecky Lou. And thank you still, Renee S. Still love you. All right, my friends.
Renee's still pissed that you can't follow the proper outline.
Yeah, it's all good. And we want to, of course, thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com for making all of this possible. Let's get into this show. Blake, hold on.
Yeah, Mary.
My Google Doc just closed. See? I don't know what's going on. Ah, mini plot recap. This is my job. Hold on, friends. Hold on. I'm back.
Where?
I'm back.
Who said we were professional?
Okay, so this is episode 7 from season 3. And in this episode, bad stuff happens, man. Okay, Skade goes crazy. She makes Bloodhair die after he gets blood in his hair.
Or she kills him.
Yeah.
One or the other. Sure. Why not?
She does. And Uhtred loves to burn stuff. He's basically Seamus Finnegan. And Alfred, still
You're
not doing
wizard,
too well.
Harry.
But you know who's really not doing too well?
Who?
Ethelwald with one eye.
Yeah, not great, Bob. Not great.
Not great, Bob.
There you go. And Edward's got a new bride.
Okay.
Good
All
for
right.
you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. There you go. Good job, Mary. Nice mini plot recap.
Welcome. It actually was a nice mini plot recap.
Sure, why not? Yeah, why not? Sure, sure. All right, this one actually is, as Mary said, episode 7. The director was Jan Mathis, a Belgian director, as a matter of fact. I've
Love
never
their
heard
waffles.
Him. Yeah, so the greatest waffles that you can imagine, especially if you do it right. If you get them nice, light, and fluffy, and what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to separate the egg whites from the egg yolks, mm-hmm. create a nice egg white, you know, froth.
Okay.
And then it crisps nice and beautifully. Anyway, Belgian director has done a lot of work that I don't know. The only one that I actually recognized is the show Shetland.
Okay.
So he has directed part of that. The writer was Lydia Adetunji. She has directed, written a couple of different episodes of some things that I've heard of. A show called Riviera on the Sundance Channel. And then also his Dark Materials, mm-hmm. Which is on HBO. And a Lin-Manuel Miranda piece. He's actually stars on that show, as a matter of fact. So there you go. So that is that. Marvin, your Shields rating. What do you got for this episode, episode 7 of The Last Kingdom?
I'm going to give it a 4.8.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Anything that stands out to you? Any particular reason why?
We'll get into that.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 4.82.
Oh, my gosh. Are we twins?
I think I liked it a tad bit more than you. The reason why I did that is because I think thematically this episode works really well. We see a huge rift in how people are motivating their people, like their followers. Uhtred motivates his followers by reputation and loyalty, whereas the king of Wessex is struggling for that mm-hmm. loyalty, and he has to give more money to people like the bride's father.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we have the opposite in that too as well with the Danes, where they're fighting over money, they're fighting over power. There's a big dichotomy in how all of these leaders are convincing their people to follow them. And I like that thematic difference. So that is that. Your GBG, though, Marvin, what do you have for your good, your bad, and your great?
My good? Hector's still alive, which I don't love Hector. I'll be real with you.
Well,
that chicken-eating man.
Okay, his name's not Hector. His name is Heston.
Heston.
We've gone over this, Mary. You know, it's one thing.
Rename everybody on this show.
It's one thing to, like, you know,
Chicken Heston.
Chicken, you know, Chicken Heston. That's fine.
Okay, I'll call
him. But just call him Hector. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Okay, so that guy is still alive because I care about him a lot. I don't even know his name, but I don't know. I think that this guy is a weasel and he still keeps living and it blows my mind. And I'm just here to see how he eventually dies. My bad. Is Citric and Uhtred not telling Finan their secrets?
Yeah, not great. That I feel like that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You gotta let, you know, your key guys in.
Yeah. Unless they can't keep secrets, unless they have like Claire face.
I feel like Finan's a really good secret keeper.
I would think so too.
Like he stays out of things. You know, like he knows what's his business and what's not his business.
I would have a problem with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have a problem with it. And maybe, you know, I understand they need it to be really authentic and everything. And maybe they think he'd overact.
You know what?
Because I could see that for Finn.
I could see that too. I could see him really owning the role.
Yeah.
And going all out.
Yeah.
Going full method.
Yes.
And that would maybe tip it off a little.
Still, I'm a little upset about that.
I feel that.
Thank you very, very much. And then my great eyeball melting.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you know how far to go? How do you know when to stop so that you don't burn a brain?
That's a good point. I feel like you probably have, you know, a little bit of pressure, you know, like a little bit of, you know, I'm sure through the eyeball, there is some give. And then once you get to like a part where there's no more give.
Or is there like a little notch in the eyeball melting stick that, you know, like, okay, this is an inch.
Yeah, like we're deep
enough
in.
Okay, like, you know, like your oil stick, you know, when you get your oil change and the guy comes out and he says, do you like it? See, I filled it up with brand new oil. Yeah, you see right that there. Line? It's where it's supposed to be. Like, I felt like
cleans
that's what should happen.
Cleans it off with a towel.
Yeah. And then he could like go over and be like, okay, Alfred, you see? Okay, it's up to the line. I've melted enough of the eye.
Yep, we're good now,
we're
right?
We're good? Okay.
Okay, good.
All right. Here's your coupon for your next time at Valvoline. You know?
You don't even have to get out of your car.
No. But I just thought that was a really cool punishment.
Oh, that was a really cool punishment.
So that's my great. Something gross is my great.
All right. Fair enough. Wow. I'm surprised by that.
Why?
Because you couldn't even watch the screen when it happened. So no. I'm surprised that it was your great.
I just think it's a really cool punishment.
Okay, sure. My good is the show having the guts to glorify the eye and taking it out and having the guts to show it for and not just like, oh, Ethelwald turns his face and you see like a little hint of it. No, he turns around, takes the thing off, or he takes his
bandage off,
turns around. And they stay on it. They stay on it for a good 5 seconds, maybe more. Be more. And the visual effect of it, I'm sure that there was some makeup involved as well.
Yes.
You know, like, well, I'm not sure if they did a whole, like, you know, all
prosthetic.
Visual effect. Or if it was part prosthetic, part visual effect. You know, like, I don't know. But, like, either way, the fact that they had the guts to have him turn around and stay there and show you the brutal nature of it, I find that very good because not a lot of shows would have the balls to do that.
I don't like that term, but okay.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I have, for my bad, a three-way tie.
Oh, gosh, Blake. How is this a 4.82 if this is a three-way tie of bads? Triplet bad.
Well, because I liked it better than last episode.
Okay.
So I'm take cornered a little bit.
Okay.
First, the Citric fake out. I don't like that. And not because it was a fake out, but because we have been in Uhtred's point of view for pretty much the entire show. And genuinely, we know what he knows as an audience.
Okay.
And the fact that the show kept us out of the
loop. Kept us in Finn's perspective for that.
And the show was never in Finn's perspective at all. And it's a deliberate attempt to fake you out, which I appreciate, but it doesn't fit within the language of the show because everything it's like Sherlock. You know, remember that show Sherlock, Benedict Cumberbatch?
Of course.
You always knew what Sherlock knew. Mm-hmm. If he didn't know something and he was surprised, we were surprised too.
Okay.
But you knew as much as he did as long as he figured it out. And the same thing should apply here. We should know exactly what Uhtred knows.
We should have been in that little secret conversation. Yes. Giggling, Finnan doesn't know.
Or Uhtred should not have been in that conversation. Like, okay. It should have been something else. Like, it should have been planned by the other people. Like, we should know what Uhtred knows.
Okay.
Also, Bloodhair's little, like, tantric dance that he does in front of the fire.
Oh, I'm here for that.
No, out. I want no part of that. The like the hands and the knife and it was all very dramatic.
I loved it.
No, Kevin Costner gets to do that by a fire. Blood hair.
All I could hear was like that. Loosen up my buttons, babe. That
And then lastly, it's a little thing, but going for a pee when you're hunting down England's most feared warrior. You know that old guy when they're trying to hunt.
Buddy.
What are you doing?
Buddy, he's not going to pee on his horse.
It doesn't matter.
You got to pee.
You are lit. You just saw Uhtred. You just saw him. You're like, oh, we got to go get him. Oh, no, he disappeared. Okay, time to take out my Wang and go for a pee.
No, you know what I love?
Get out of here.
I love that this show keeps people human. One of my pet peeves was in that show 24 when that guy was running around for 24 hours. I never saw him eat a granola bar, never saw him eat anything, nor did he ever go pee. In this show, the past two episodes, they've talked about using the loo. Remember, Brita asked him, do you need to go? It's your turn to shit. And he says, I don't need to shit. And I thought, that's real life.
That makes
sense
to me.
Sometimes you don't have to go. Sometimes you're at the rest stop and you're like, it's just not my time.
I understand. I
get
it.
It's not my time.
When you're going
journey.
For a journey, hey, it's your turn. Go do what you got to do. So, not when you're in the middle of hunting England's most feared warrior.
Listen, it might have been an emergency.
I don't care.
You pee yourself?
No, you hold it in. You hold it in.
He couldn't.
You have the
Nope, doesn't happen.
You strengthen your prostate or whatever. I don't know what to tell you.
His is weak.
He's got
and they don't
screen.
Have depends.
Listen, figure it out.
You know
don't
what?
Go pee.
When you have urinary issues when you get older, I'm going to show this to you. I'm going to find this podcast.
Okay, when
in
you
the
find
future.
Me hunting Uhtred in the middle of the forest and I just saw him and he disappeared from my sight, when I go take a pee, then you can tell me don't take a pee. But until then, what are we doing?
Real life, man. People have pee problems.
That was awful. That was awful. That was bad. It was bad. Bad. All right, but in my great, though, of course, is the rhyming shots of Alfred from behind when he is looking out the window and all you see is the back of his head with his crown and he's looking to God for answers. And then when he issues his own judgment on Ethelwald, they repeat the same shot. But at that point, he has issued judgment and Ethelwald is getting his eye removed. Such a great visual cue on to what they're trying to tell you, which is Alfred has taken into his own hands what he could not find from God. Instead of looking to God, he's looking to himself. And that shot is just brilliant. Just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant on so many different levels. So that is that. That is my GBG. Where do you want to begin with this episode, my love?
Let's get the most boring part out of the way.
Okay, what's that?
The fledlings.
Okay, the fledlings. Yep,
so,
sure.
Ethel fled.
Yes.
Bores me. Okay, bores her husband. Her husband wants her to be with his best friend so he can divorce her.
Yes.
He's sending an army her way. His bestie is able to be friend. I'm just bored.
No,
I'm
wants,
bored with you.
Ethel Red wants, what's his name, to bed.
Yes, so he can divorce
Ethel
her.
Ethel fled so he can divorce her. Mm-hmm. Dare I say, though, that Aldhelm is actually a good person?
I think he's good right now.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And this does not, again, this does not bode well for him.
No, he's going to die.
He's going to die. He's totally going to die.
Not in a good way.
Ethel
Maybe
Red,
that bird's going to pick out his flesh.
Ooh, that'd be good.
I mean, they have the bird for some reason.
They showed that bird for a reason. It's like, you know.
It's a carnivorous bird. It is like, a.
Yeah. That bird wants
it's a
to
raptor.
Hunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That bird hunts. And it's like Chekhov's gun. You don't introduce that thing without it coming back later on.
So we have her there. And then we have her with Uhtred. And she says, oh, if you want, you can like hang here, man. Why don't you stay here? You can live here. And he's like, listen, I know you want a bone. But I got things to do. Okay. We'll get there someday. We'll be fine. And they are out in the woods.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, good.
And she turns into Ninja Girl.
Yeah. Like, I did not expect that kind of precision.
She watched The Matrix.
She was inspired by Trinity.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I get that. Full bullet time.
I mean, we don't see her practice. We saw her practicing when she was young.
Yes.
I don't think she's been practicing with the nuns, nor has she. Maybe she. I kind of want to see her practice with somebody now that she's older.
Yeah, I would say that the show probably did not earn that kind of deadliness. It almost reminds me of The Walking Dead. If you remember, like, between seasons 2 and 3, they went from being, like, you know, just all a bunch of jabronis to the next season. They were like killers.
Yeah, but, snipers.
But the show explained it away by saying, listen, we had 2 years or whatever it is to train and get better. And so this is the result. And this is what we have. But this show did not do that. It went from her being Ethel fled.
Like, I would have loved like her and Osferth having little lessons with Finnan each day.
Yeah, like that would have been cool.
Instead, we just have to believe she's suddenly a ninja.
Yeah, that's a little hard for me to accept. What is not hard for me to accept is the fact that when Uhtred is giving his speech to all his men, like, listen, you guys go do what you want to do. You're all free men, but I can't offer you any money. I can't offer you land, but I can offer you reputation. And everybody stands up and yada, yada.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And then she is looking at Uhtred, literally taking every single piece of clothing off of his body with every passing second through her eyes. Like, she's full pants tent over Uhtred at that point. Like, wow. Like, I could not believe the level of, like, how much she wants to bone at that point.
So there you have it. So that's the Ethelfled. We can go to Edward.
Yeah, we'll go to Edward.
Edward has a new bride, and he's pretty pumped because she's pretty. And they look like a cute pair. They've talked for 5 seconds. Let's get married.
Yeah, that's about it. I think the more shocking thing is the...
The father-in-law wanting more money?
Well, no, because he's right.
Agreed. Yeah,
Alfred, you're going to croak. Like, I can look, I can smell it on you. You're done.
This is the early version of life insurance. And he said, you know, this life insurance policy doesn't really match up with the amount of risk associated.
I should probably go to Geico and figure this out. Yeah. Or, you know, whatevs.
But I loved that this guy came in. And he is Mr. Confident.
Yeah, he just walks right in.
Sitting down, chatting, even with Ethelwald comes in. Ethelwald's like, who are you deciding my fate? Yeah. And he's like, I don't care. I'm here for the chicken. Yeah. And I'm important now.
There has been a plethora of chicken since Heston has left our camp. I'm here for the chicken too.
Yep, and I can afford it now.
And like he just, now that you bring that up, this guy just pops up at the Witten to talk to Ethelwald.
Loved it. Loved
it. Who are you guys?
And he got a front row seat.
He did.
Yep.
Like, he's given the red carpet treatment. That
guy's pumped.
And maybe it was part of his, like, insurance package. You know, like, not only are we going to give you all the money to basically buy your town.
Yeah, but I want the Witten seat.
I want the Witten seat. I want the red one that's closest to the door.
Yes.
So that way I can come in whenever I want and leave before everybody else.
Yes.
And I got, and I'm one of the top three people that get the first say.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, like, that's part of his insurance package, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But the level with which how transactional it was, you know, the whole, like, okay, let's get down to business. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that because you're going to croak, and you have some people that want your throne, and Edward sure is a nice guy, but, you know, there's a lot of risk here. So why don't you up the ante a little bit? I found that, I mean, I didn't find it shocking, but I found it probably prescriptive of the time.
Yeah.
But wow, man, that was
it's like shopping for a car.
Aggressive. And I loved the girl's hair.
Yes, you have mentioned that.
I've mentioned that now. And I was like, I saw it. And I was like, ooh, I like that. With the two little braids
twisties
that come down the center. And oh, yeah.
The boring floodlings are done. Yes. Alfred's about to die. Let's do the Alfred bit. Alfred, here comes Ethelwald. Jumping off a little chicken truck.
Yeah.
Strolls on and gets a brew.
And Peerlyg sees him, and then this is how it all goes down. Okay, so let's just get right to it. Does Alfred issue a punishment that's commensurate with what he knows in terms of Ethelwald's discrepancies? We'll put it that way.
I'd say no.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think he should have done? Either more or less?
More.
Okay, more. Why?
I would have also cut out his tongue.
I feel like that would have been more apropos.
Because without one eye, you still look like a fierce warrior. I've seen some creepy one eye people, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is, you're about to die, Alfred, which I appreciate. That's why you didn't want to kill him, because you're about to die and you don't want to be judged. But on the flip side, this is your son's potential biggest issue. You know, like Ethelwald thinks he has the right to the throne and he has been in talks with the Danes and he did just come fresh from them. And yet all you're doing is going to blind him in one eye when he can escape. He can go command possibly an army with his voice. I mean, I would have killed him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, really maimed him so he wouldn't be able to go run away or go back to the Danes or talk.
Yeah.
Ethelwald is a talker, so cut out his tongue.
Yeah. You know, Mary, you bring up a very valid point because we even see those fruits in this episode when he's talking to that guy, Sigebrit, about the girl that Edward got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, I can understand if you couldn't support Edward. Like, I get it. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then the king walks in and then the guy loses his eye. Mm-hmm. But you're right. His talent is kind of like Skade's, where he spreads poison.
Yes.
And he manipulates people to doing what he wants them to do. I don't think he's as good as it as he thinks he is, but he's pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. And if you took his tongue, that takes away his best weapon.
Yes. So that's what I would have done.
The problem is, though, if you have the show and you take away his tongue, now you're taking away someone who's really good at what they do.
And the Danes can't read, so he can't write them notes.
Right. And he's not going to be doing, you know, Pictionary or whatever the game is. Or no, charades. Yeah, sure. Pictionary, charades, whatever, scatagories.
Both of them. Yeah.
All of them.
Taboo.
They're all the same.
No, they're not.
He definitely can't do that movie. That
but
game,
that's what I would have done. Correct. And if you don't know what Watch Your Mouth is, Google it and you'll just picture a tongueless Ethelwald.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh,
so,
that funny.
No, I don't think it was an appropriate punishment. I think that it is just going to embolden him even more and actually make him look more ferocious. So
I can't get the sight of him doing Watch Your Mouth with no tongue now.
I know.
I think it was a fair punishment taking the guy's eye. The problem, like I said, is that that's not his best thing.
No.
And I would rather...
It's not like a champion winker. Yeah.
<You know? laughs> yeah, but did he do the right thing in letting him stay alive?
I would have killed him, but...
I probably would have killed him, too. There is that argument to be made, though, that which we talked about, which is that is his nephew, and it is his brother's son.
Okay, so just maim him.
Here's another question, too, that I was thinking. As Alfred is having the discussion with Aelswyth about, okay, I was looking to God and he's not providing me answers. What do I do? And she's saying, just kill the guy. The thing that kept popping up in my brain as I'm watching it is Alfred is saying, listen, I can't do that. I can't kill him because he's my brother's son. And then something really telling happens. He says, am I going to kill this kid, my brother's son, so close to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just about to walk into the gates of heaven, and here I am about to kill this kid. Is he really not killing the kid because of his Christian morals, or is it because he just don't want to, you know, answer the call? Is he being selfish?
Both. Great gray line.
Yeah. The cynic in me is saying it's all selfishness.
I mean, he had no problem killing people his whole life, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's all selfishness because, like, okay, I'm so close to the end point here. I don't want to screw none of this up.
Yeah.
So how about we just take his eye?
So thanks.
So we're all set. But here's another question for you. What does the show become without Alfred?
Chaos.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm excited.
Is the show as good without Alfred?
We're going to find out. I don't know. Probably. Blake, he's going to die soon. So let's move on to something else.
All right, fair enough. Fine,
he's going to die and we'll find out.
All right.
Okay,
fine.
Can we go to the Danes?
Yes. Let's do the Danes.
I'm over the alehouse fire thing. Nice trick, But like, cool. I don't need to get into it. We already talked about Uhtred.
It's fine.
So let's talk about Knut Weasley. Oh, who's married?
Yeah, across the sea. Whoa. I don't put it past him, though. It's not. I'm not surprised by
what happens
it.
In Vegas.
Yeah. What? Hey, different area codes.
What happens in Wessex?
Okay. What happens in Wessex stays in Wessex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not surprised by this. But there's part of me that does believe he actually does kind of have some feelings for Brita. Like, because he was on this even before Ragnar died. It wasn't just like Ragnar croaks and then, oh, hey, girl, what's up? You know, it was a thing even before then. Like he was saying that he's not respecting you and all that stuff.
I don't think he has feelings for her.
Is it a smart move
yes.
for Brita to do this?
For Brita? No,
yeah.
Stay away from Knut Weasley.
How come? Like she knows that her men will only, she even says it, her men will only follow a woman for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And once, now that Ragnar's gone, her stature in the group is nothing. She's not tied to anybody. And she has to survive.
Yeah, but why does she need to get with Knut?
Because her people will only follow her for so long. She's
yeah,
a
so
woman.
Find another man.
Yeah, but who
I
else?
Bet you there are some bet. There's a lot of fish in that sea. There's a lot of Danes there.
Yeah.
You just doesn't
yeah, but
have
you're going to choose Heston? Mm-mm.
No, I don't want any of the inner circle. Yeah, I want like a hot, I want like the Jamie Fraser, you know, like young, kind of
okay.
like hiding a
to
little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scoop that sucker up. Like the yep. Finnan.
Go, you gotta
I'll be
go
looking
to the,
around.
You got to go to the horse stables. That's where you
yes.
go. You go to the horse stables yes. to find your Jamie Fraser.
Yes.
That's what you do.
Yes.
And instead, she's going with Knut Weasley, mm-hmm. which is like, what are we doing?
No. And he's, it's, no.
And I don't know.
What?
Listen, they made a choice to...
But she's so sad, so I appreciate that she's going for the quick rebound.
She needs the rebound.
And she sees it as the way out, and we all have the same cause, and let's just get this done.
Yes.
You know, it's our last chance.
Sure. And you know, she's not proud of it, but it's an answer.
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to fist pump the next day.
No.
No, I don't think so. They made the choice to kill off Bloodhair. And, you know, it's just another person that seemed to kind of go nowhere mm-hmm. in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Were you impressed by Bloodhair at all? Did you want him to stay alive?
No. I didn't need him to stay alive. I knew he would die.
Yeah.
But he served his purpose. And
the funny thing is, I don't even know what that purpose is.
Was to get Skade there. Skade can't just like walk by herself. He was like the conflict with Skade. He kept fanning the fire and made us think that Skade is valuable. He gave Skade value, aside from just being some weird witch lady.
Well, I would argue that Skade gave her own value.
But he was doing it. Heston loves that he keeps being like, give me back my woman. Uhtred
yes.
loves, give me back my woman. Like,
yes.
if they just had her, but nobody else wanted her, they wouldn't think she was such a cool toy.
Yeah. Why do you think she chose to kill Bloodhair over Heston, Skade?
I think she knows that Bloodhair is actually stronger, and she said that neither of them are her destiny.
Yeah.
So she figured, I'll kill the strong one first,
yeah.
and then someone else can kill Heston.
Because she ultimately wants to end up with Uhtred.
Correct.
And if... I could see that she probably believes that Heston has 0.0 chance
in a battle
Uhtred.
With Uhtred, correct.
And Bloodhair, even though Uhtred already gave him the business, probably has a better chance
yes.
at defeating Uhtred than Heston does. Mm-hmm. Because Heston is that little cockroach that, like, okay, sure,
he survives.
He survives, and he just keeps going. Yeah, I think you're right. I think she probably chose him because...
And maybe she even thought that Bloodhair might mortally wound Heston in the battle before he went a little loopy. And okay,
that's
two
true.
Birds, one stone.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, eventually he'll fall apart. And...
I did think it was weird, though, that she ends up stabbing and killing him and how she isn't punished. Because it was supposed to be a battle between Heston and Bloodhair, and then she kills him.
I mean, that's fair, but the...
But he did come at her.
He did come at her. That's the thing. If he didn't go swipe at her, you'd probably have a little bit more of a case.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing that he did come at her the way that he did,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think all's fair in love and war at that point.
Okay.
Because, dude, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to defend myself.
Agreed.
I think
I love how Heston had no idea.
Yeah, right?
He's like, I'm really good at this.
This is awesome.
I'm super good.
He must be getting tired.
Yeah. His confidence level is going to skyrocket.
Oh, I know.
He's going to write a letter to his mom. Mom, you'll never guess what I did.
I killed some guy named Bloodhair.
Me.
His name was Bloodhair.
All of those karate lessons really paid off.
Oh, man. I think narratively, you know, Bloodhair didn't serve a whole ton of purpose.
Agreed.
And, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad he's gone. And I think it's just one more guy down the drain. And who do you think makes it out? Heston or Knut?
Neither. I don't think either of them are going to live after this season.
I tend to think Knut lives.
Really? Over Heston? I think Knut's going to get killed by Breida.
Once she finds out that Good. I mean, Ethelwald is definitely going to get killed by Breida. That is without question. I mean, that is without question.
And then Ethelwald will tell her, it was Knut. And then she'll kill him in bed. Like how Ragnar was killed in bed.
Yeah, fair enough. I like it.
So I think if it's anyone, it's Heston. That's who my money's still on.
I did like, though, Breida did run to Bloodhair's hand to make sure that he had his axe in his hand to make sure that he goes to Valhalla. I like how that they keep
reinforcing
this. I am
wondering if Breida is going to be impregnated by Knut now that the curse has been lifted.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, again, I don't think they're introducing the idea of this, you know, curse without, you know, paying
red hair, hand-me-down robes.
Must be a Weasley.
You're a wizard, Harry.
That's what I think. So anything else you want to say? It is important to recognize that the Danes are, as Uhtred predicted, fighting amongst themselves and that they don't have an army, really. It's just a bunch of guys together thinking that they could do what they want to do.
And now Knut is going after what he thinks is Uhtred, but it's really the Fire Town.
Yes. Yes.
So Heston's all alone.
How about that poor guy that delivers the message and Bloodhead just slits his throat?
Oh, Ethelwald's man?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, buddy.
I know. That. You know what? You lay down with dogs, you get fleas.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Nice.
You lay with dogs, you get fleas.
Yeah.
And that guy, that's what happened.
Well, he didn't know. He wasn't that smart.
No. Not at all. Anything else you want to say about the Dane camp at this point?
No.
The Citric thing, you're okay with.
I'm over it.
You're over it. It's fine. It's done.
Yes.
And you had no problem with it, the way that it was handled?
No, I told you I had a problem, but I'm saying I'm over it now.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm done.
What do you want to talk about now?
Nothing.
No, we got Uhtred. We got what else do we got here?
I already talked about Uhtred.
Are you sure?
I talked about everything.
Let's see what I have in my notes here.
I'm done.
You know what? I think I'm done too. The only thing I will add is
I even gave you the hand sign that I was done.
You did. They gave me the hand sign. Okay, fine. Fair. Fair. You're the one who messed up the entire intro and couldn't get the beginning of the show right. The only thing I will mention on top of all of this is that the show continues to remain balanced, and it's not in a way that is overt or in your face. There are these subtle jokes. There are subtle things that are happening that keep the life of the show moving forward. Mm-hmm. And there's a great interaction between Uhtred and Finnan about their fathers. He's like, oh, you knew your father? Really? Oh, yeah, I knew his fist. You know, like those, it was an honest question, but it was said in a sarcastic way, but you could tell that there was honesty in it. And I like seeing these relationships continue to grow, whether it is Osferth and Finnan or
Osferth, who's all better.
All better. We're all good now. And he's killing dudes. No problem killing dudes now.
The classes he's taking with Ethel Flitter are paying off.
They steal Skade at the end of the episode, and they fly and they
run away.
And by the way, those bow and arrow men from Heston,
get in the boat.
Not great. They're awful.
I actually just thought that Uhtred was very lucky because that distance looked like they could have.
I know. Very That's easily. What I'm trying to say. They couldn't throw a rock into the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we? Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Like,
your
arrowmen suck, guy. Yeah. Like, there's no reason why you should be where you are with those guys. They were like 5 feet. They could reach out and touch them. Mm-hmm. Maybe the guy that peed could pee on them. They were that close.
Maybe. That's gross.
What happens with Skade, do you think?
Does he bet her? Does he kill her? Which first? I gotta be real with you. Uhtred hasn't had sex in a long time. I'm a little nervous.
Maybe he's gotta, you know.
No, he doesn't gotta do anything. I'm just saying I'm nervous. I don't want him to do it.
I'm thinking that he kills her.
He kills her when she thinks he's gonna sleep with her. Everybody just gets killed in bed. Don't go to bed. Don't sleep with your eyes
shut.
Don't
sleep. I'm thinking that he kills her. I'm thinking that he kills her pretty much right away. I bet you the next episode opens within the next 5 minutes, she's dead.
I would love that.
I would be in on that too because I'm over Skade now. I'm over the whole thing. Like when Bloodhair was like sucking on her fingers and like all that blood from that guy from like you're drinking some dude's blood. Like,
you don't know where he's been.
I know. Like, what are you doing? It's one thing if it's like hers. And like even then I'm not into blood drinking.
I'm glad to hear that.
But like it's one thing if you know that it's coming out of her and like into you. Cool. Like that's hey man, I'm not gonna, you know, kink shame because that's cool. But
no, it's not.
No, it's for no, some people no, listen, for some no. people okay, it is what
just
it is.
Go on.
But you're drinking some other dude's blood. It's weird. Weird. I don't know. I'm just over Skade. I'm over the whole thing. I think she's just too much and I'm ready for her to go.
Me too.
I'm ready for her to go. All right. Yeah, that's the end of this. I think that's the end. That's all you got, right?
That's what I said 5 minutes ago.
Okay, let's – do you have a Destined to Be Theory of the Week?
Yes.
Ooh, girl. Let's hear it. All right, Mary, what do you got?
It's time to whip out your fascinators and get your tea and crumpets because I think there's going to be a royal wedding next episode.
That is a lukewarm take, Mary. That is not even lukewarm. That's like room temperature take.
Okay. I'm just excited for a wedding. Okay.
I haven't had
one in a long time, and I'm not gonna get to see the beautiful red dress again.
Which red dress is that?
Uhtred's wife's.
Oh, Gisela's dress. That's right.
I mean, maybe someone does get it. Maybe someone just borrows it. Alas.
No red dress.
Okay. What's your destined to be?
My destined to be theory of the week?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This one's blazing hot.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep. Not interested.
I'm not going to say Chernobyl hot, but it's blazing hot.
It's not a royal wedding. I tell you.
This episode has made it so clear that Ethelfled wants Uhtred in the worst way. And it's similar to how they shot that sequence with Citric and Uhtred when they were doing the play again for Dagfinn. How they just kept referencing Dagfinn and kept going back to it. And the way that, you know, Uhtred's rousing speech was shot, it's like showing Ethelfled just undress him, you know, with every passing second. My thought is this. If it doesn't happen by the end of this season, it will, I think, next season, where Uhtred says, you know what? Okay, let's do this. Like, let's be a thing. Because, you know, like maybe they have like an encounter and it all goes swimmingly. And Uhtred's finally like, okay, I'm over Gisela. Well, I'm not over her, but I can move on. I can move forward. The thing with Ethelfled is her early life. She has proven to be somewhat like reactive and jumping into her relationships. And she's a smarter, stronger character than that. And I think she turns him down.
She's married. It's not going to work out.
You know that he ain't going to be lasting long for some reason, one reason or another.
I know, but like you can't marry him. I'm sorry. You can't marry Uhtred.
I'm not saying you're going to marry him, but
she's
going
to marry somebody. She's a princess.
But what I'm saying is she is going to recognize, okay, even if I want to be with Uhtred, I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't because it's not good for England.
No.
And also, at the same time, she's going to be having issues with her brother. I guarantee you she's going to have issues with her brother because her brother's going to do something stupid. And she's going to say, I need to like figure this stuff out. And Uhtred, yeah, you're great, but
I got to go be queen.
This is not good for England. So sorry. So ultimately, she's going to turn him down.
Okay.
That's what I think. That's again, not Chernobyl hot, but it's blazing hot.
Not as fun as a royal wedding.
All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Here we are, friends. We're getting towards the tail end of season 3 of The Last Kingdom. So thankful that you were able to tune on in and keep us company. Yeah, we're excited to see where this next episode takes us. So, yes. On that note, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.